You're listening to Drake in the Morning on 98.1 The Max.
Here, Jones Law Firm, answering questions of various kinds today, all over the board, as the legal world tends to be. So if you have a question, feel free to email it right now, mail@drakeinthemorning.com. The phone lines are currently full, but they won't be in a minute. When we get done talking to somebody, there'll be one that opens up. Ronnie has been hanging on. Thank you, sir. What do you have for Bill? Go ahead.
My daughter-in-law lives in Mississippi. We're hearing that they're probably going to go through a divorce. Her concern is they have a child. He's threatening that he'll write the divorce in such a manner that she can't leave the state of Mississippi. And we live in Tennessee. And her concern is she won't be able to move back up here and have the support of family. Can the divorce really be written such that one spouse is restricted to residence inside of a state?
It can have the short answer is no. Okay, this is the United States of America. You've got the right to live wherever you want, okay? The longer answer, though, is if they agree, if your wife or if your daughter agrees, and this is why she needs to make sure she's got a lawyer, there can be language in there that says if this party moves X amount of miles away or to another state, that custody of the children will remain with, you know, the father who resides in that area. But she's allowed to move wherever she wants.
Okay.
He may put up a fight and have to show how the children would be harmed if he wanted to move. But generally she'll be allowed to move.
Okay.
But you need to make sure that she has a lawyer who can make sure that there's no wording in that document, if they have an agreement, that talks about where she's restrained to living.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. I can contact your office downtown for further help.
Yeah, correct? And actually, I'm not downtown. I'm in East. We're located right behind Memphis Funeral Home.
Right.
Over here by Dixie Pickers.
Very convenient.
So you know, we're right there. All right, yeah, sure. You can contact us.
Jones, I appreciate it.
All right, man, thanks. Good luck. All right, Ronnie, thank you. Let's go back to the phones over here. Push the buttons, make it work. Okay, this would be Justin. Go ahead, Justin, for Lawyer Bill. What's your question, please?
Good morning, guys. Back in November, I took my truck in to get serviced at a local dealership. The dealership did routine maintenance, and when they were test driving it, they wrecked my truck. Now, they did fix everything, but before I could consult an attorney, they went ahead and fixed everything, and I was wondering if there's any sort of recourse I can get or if there's some sort of diminished value they should pay or their insurance should pay.
There might be. Man, that sucks.
Yeah. brand new truck.
I mean, it was brand new?
It was a 2014, had 30,000 miles on it.
That sucks. And how bad was the wreck?
They never told me the extent of the damage. I mean, they told me what happened, but they never showed me any numbers, so there's no estimate.
You may have something there, but the form of a lawsuit generally is to make you whole.
Sure.
It's to try and... It's not designed to be a windfall. It's not designed to give you more than what you started with. So if they made the vehicle whole, then the only thing you may have is the difference in what that truck would have been, the value of that truck before the wreck and the value of the truck after the wreck. And I don't know that that would be enough to justify litigation, but it would probably justify a letter, a demand letter to them. So that's something we can do for you if that's something you want to pursue. I just don't know that there'd be a whole lot there.
Okay. All right.
But
thank
that sucks,
much.
Man. You take your car into work, they test drive it, and they wreck it.
Yep, that's a bit unfortunate. Thank you, Justin. Let's see. Any emails, Sid? Go ahead.
Yes, Andrew says, my wife and I are flying out of town in June. We want to make arrangements for our three children. If something were to happen, they want to do a will. He says, I haven't been able to adopt my stepdaughter because her biological father, who lives out of town, is being hesitant to sign the papers to proceed, even though she's 11 and he hasn't been active in her life for 9 years. If we were to pass away, would she be separated from her two younger sisters and end up in his custody?
Mm. Probably so. Whoever you appoint as the guardian would have to make a pretty strong case that the two other siblings would suffer, or the daughter herself would suffer irreparable harm if the three kids were separated. Otherwise, this child's rights are this father's rights are going to be superior. So it's important that you elect a guardian over those younger two kids that will fight for that older child. Either that or complete the adoption post haste.
There you go. 535-9898, a line open. As we go to Steve for Lawyer Bill, go ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Jones. Thanks for the time. My subdivision was built in 05-06, and I was moved in on the early part of it. The builder's intention, everybody in closing signed papers that there would be an HOA. Needless to say, the builder went bankrupt shortly thereafter when everything crashed. And the HOA never came to fruition. Issue we're having is there is a alley, so to speak, that runs behind all the houses. For garage access. And, I mean, that's how everybody gets their garage. And it is becoming, nothing but a mess, that alley, potholes and disrepair. So where does that fall to now? There is no HOA. There's never been any fees paid, dues, nothing like that. So now where's the responsibility for that?
Responsibility is going to fall on the independent homeowners. Because the builder's bankrupt, so you can't sue him. Mm-hmm. If there was never an HOA formed, then there's no HOA to go after. Probably what you're going to have to do is actually form. What I would try and do is rally my neighbors together and say, look, let's try and form a homeowner association, and let's pool our money to fix this road. The problem is you're going to have a couple of folks that are going to say, I don't want to chip in until this thing's so bad that only a 4x4 can get over it.
Yeah, well, that fact that most of the houses are becoming rentals, and you know how things went after everything crashed.
Yeah, that's about your only option, though. Either that or just repair the section behind your house.
And the problem there is the traffic up and down. Nobody. I see what you're saying. Okay.
All right, Steve. All right. Thanks. All right. 535-9898. Next up here is Mark for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning, guys. All right. My question is: back in 2003, I was in the military and came home on leave from overseas and got married. Now, flew back overseas, and about a year later, she became pregnant with somebody else's child.
All right.
So obviously, the relationship ended there, but I did receive a divorce. So I've gone on this time, and she's had kids. And probably about a year ago, I haven't had any contact with her since then. About a year ago, she was arrested, and she's still incarcerated. Now, she has, like, four kids. Now, what process do I need to go with to get a divorce, and how difficult it's going to be with her having kids? That aren't mine.
All right, so first off, as I tell everybody, we appreciate your service to our country.
Thank you.
But secondly, what branch of the service were you in?
The Navy.
All right. They got to teach you in the Navy to handle your business better. Because you cannot let, I mean, since 2003, four kids, man, under the law right now, you're the father of those kids. All right. Here's what the law says. The law says that you are considered to be the father of those kids because you two are married. Any child born during the marriage, by her, you're the father of.
All right.
That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, and you know how many people I bet just their stomach just went nuts.
Yeah. Here's the deal. I had to memorize this for law school because the verbiage in it's weird. The husband of the mother is presumed to be the father of the child.
Unless she's a whore.
The husband of the mother is presumed to be the father of the child, even if she is a whore. She can be a two-bit flea-ridden demon slut whore, and you're still there.
Now, what if it's a different nationality? Or
doesn't
race?
Matter. Does not matter. You are presumed.
Obviously not.
Now, look, you're presumed. Okay, that is a rebuttable presumption, meaning during the divorce process, what you've done is you've cost yourself extra money.
Yeah.
Okay, because what you're going to have to do is you, her, and the kids are all going to have to submit to DNA testing to show that you're not the dad.
Okay.
But you need to get on it quick because the courts are hesitant to legally bastardize a child. Okay? And that's what happens. You got to think about it. When you divorce her, these kids are going to be legally bastardized. They will not have a father until she starts tracking down daddies and they start changing certificates. So you've cost yourself extra money in that you're going to have to have a DNA test. If you don't take care of it quickly, then the court could say you've been presumed to be the father of these kids for so long. You've held yourself out as the father. Sorry, you're just the dad.
Mm.
And that's what happened to he was on this show years ago. Sam Kinison's buddy.
Yeah.
That's what happened to him.
Right. Carl LeBove, yeah.
Yeah, he waited so long. The court said, yeah, it's Sam's kid, but screw you, you're the dad.
Yep.
Keep paying support.
All right, another twist. One of the child, she's put up for adoption.
You don't need any more twists. You got enough twists. What?
That's right.
She's put one of the kids up for adoption?
Yes, and I got adopted.
Okay, but it's not yours, right?
Right, no.
You need a lawyer.
Yeah, man.
And a stiff drink.
And your lawyer needs a stiff drink.
Is murder illegal still?
It is.
My lawyer needs a lawyer.
Here in Tennessee and Mississippi, it is. I don't know about Arkansas.
Jeez. Mark, man, I really hate this for you, but yeah, get a lawyer, bro.
Or join the Navy again and ship off.
Yeah.
Go all right, guys, I appreciate it.
All right, man, thank you. Well, there's today's winner so far.
Well, it sounds like she may not have been in the Navy. It sounds like she was waiting down at the dock waiting on the sailors to get home.
Oh, man. Let's do one more for the break. Joanne has been hanging on. Let's see. Joanne, how are you? What do you got?
Hi. I'm calling because I have a problem. My mom had a nervous breakdown. She's been paranoid schizophrenic since I was about seven. She was culpable. I was helping me take care of her. But now she's in the point where she's just uncontrollably, and she has a problem. And I can't seem to get her in a facility. They keep saying that she has to find herself in. But how the person that had a nervous breakdown or is not stable in her mind going to find herself in? And she's going to get hurt. My theory is that she's going to get hurt because she's always walking the street. And every time I try to get her in, she won't. She goes haywire. She's been arrested and committed into the mental institution in Memphis twice. But I want her to be in somewhere that is long-term. She needs long-term care.
Okay. Does she understand anything? I mean, if I asked her where she should go pay her bills, would she know that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Nah.
Probably what you're going to need is an attorney to get you what we call a conservatorship. Okay, conservatorship is a document that would legally put you in charge, where you would sign documents for. You could check her in, but you would. It has some responsibilities with it. Okay, it's not something that you're going to be running your life and running somebody else's life. So it's not all, you know, lollipops and rainbows. It's going to have some work. But we can sign you up as the conservator, and you'd have to show a judge that she was mentally incompetent and unable to handle her own affairs, or wasn't, you know, endangering herself, and that you need to be the conservator.
Okay.
And if you contact Patricia Woods at our office, you can find us at lawyerbill.com.
Okay.
Pat Woods can help you with that. Okay.
Pat Woods, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am, right. Joanne. Good luck to you. I'm sorry for your trouble there. We'll do a little break here and get the phones going again. 535-9898 is where you call. Bobby, hang on. Got some more emails, too. We'll get to those right after this short break. We'll be back with more of Ask Lawyer Bill in just a few minutes.
The corner of my eye, I saw a pretty little thing approaching me. She said, I never seen a man who looks so all alone. Could you use a little company? If you pay the right price, your evening will be nice, and you can go and send me on my way. I said, you're such a sweet young thing, why you do this to yourself? She looked at me, and this is what she said. Oh, there ain't no rest for the wicked.
Happy Thursday, March 3. Some rain today, on and off. Cool, high about 50 for the day. And then tomorrow gets warmer. Decent weekend coming up and warmer temperatures next week. Lawyer Bill's here today. Our friend Bill Jones, the Jones Law Firm, lawyerbill.com. Taking your questions and helping you find answers to the things you've gotten yourself into. Bobby's been hanging on. Thank you, ma'am. What do you have for Lawyer Bill? Go ahead.
As a concerned parent, my daughter is going through a divorce, and it should be final this week. Her soon-to-be ex keeps calling her phone, saying ugly things to her, harassing her all the time, calling her work number and bothering her at work, calling her all kind of names. They have two small children. What are her rights? How can she stop him from harassing her?
There should be a is she represented by counsel?
They did an uncontested divorce, and yes, she's the one that got the lawyer on that.
Okay,
but it is uncontested.
Well, there needs to be some language in there that talks about basically a restraining provision that says, you know, the parties will each restrain themselves from contacting the other unless it's absolutely necessary. There's some language that we can that I generally put in there that kind of prohibits the activity that you're talking about. So without that language in there, you're kind of at a disadvantage. If you can tell her to make sure that language is in there, then if he violates it, you can take him back to court and show that
I think the judge has probably already signed the paper. They're just waiting on the final papers. I think the judge has already granted the divorce.
Okay, then what she may have to do is file a petition for contempt and a petition to modify the final decree and show, based upon what's going on. There's a third option, and that option is an order of protection, but I'm hesitant to recommend that. An order of protection is where you go down to 201 Poplar. It's a criminal action. And that's generally reserved for if somebody isn't in fear. When you start abusing that and using it for just, you know, an inconvenience, it kind of loses some of its luster. Those courts are really there for people who are in fear for their life.
I understand. This is in Mississippi, Lawyer Bill.
And okay.
What she did and what she's done, and you tell me if this is legal for her to do, please. She blocked his number, and she told him she will unblock it
between 6 and 7 p.m. in order for him to talk to his child once a day. And that way she won't have to get the calls and she won't have to get the ugly text messages. And then at 6 when he calls, she hands the phone to her son and lets him talk. Is it legal for her to do that?
Well, that's going to depend upon what her decree does. Here's how I would do it, though. How I would do it, I'd let him, I would tell him, I'm going to communicate with you via text only. I'll have the kids call you, but I'm going to communicate with you via text only. That way you've got a written record. Text messages are awesome. I love them.
Well, she's got a lot of them that are very damaging, so.
Well, they may be damaging both ways. And here's what I tell people. I love text messages for two reasons. Number one, I've got a written record. Number two, it keeps my clients honest. If they understand everything that you type and write is going to see the light of day, then when he starts going off and calling her names, it makes it easier for her to swallow that crap sandwich and write back, "Yes, I understand. I'm sorry you feel that way."
Okay.
And it keeps her from lashing back and going off on him.
Okay.
Which makes her look like a saint in court.
But as far as her filing harassment charges against him,
she's going to have to file a petition for contempt and to modify.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bobby. Thanks. Good luck. Sounds like fun. Sid, any emails over there?
Yes. Amanda says, a behavioral health LLC recently purchased two homes in her neighborhood. They're in Mississippi, and the subdivision is zoned agricultural slash residential. All the neighbors are in agreement that we don't want this company operating these group homes on our street. Do we have any options to get them out?
You may. It depends on how they're going to set them up. Right now, I mean, they're a corporation that's bought homes. If they're not operating the business yet, then there may not be anything that you can do yet. But there should be. If it's zoned residential, then it's zoned residential. But if they're setting it up as just, you know, rental property or something like that, there may not be anything you can do. So it all depends on how they're going to use it.
Okie doke, to the phones again, Robert for Lawyer Bill. Go ahead, sir. Robert.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Speak.
I was thinking about getting a suppressor for a gun and was going to set up a gun trust to do that. And I was just curious, what kind of benefits does that gun trust provide aside from being able to purchase a suppressor and short-barreled weapons?
Okay, so if you've got a gun trust set up, then basically what you're doing is saving yourself paperwork, okay?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you buy the suppressor yourself, then you've got to submit your passport photos. You got to be fingerprinted. You got to have the sheriff of the county sign off on your form, and you got to pay your tax stamp. Now, if you've got, and you're the only person licensed or registered to use that weapon, okay?
Right.
Whereas if you set up a trust, then any member of the trust can use it. You don't have to have the sheriff sign up or sign off on anything. You don't have to have the background check. So the trust is useful if you think you're going to buy more than one. Okay, if this is a one-time thing, hey, I just want one suppressor to put on the end of my 22 and shoot squirrels with, then you don't need the trust. Okay. But if it's you, your brother, your wife, your kids, y'all all want to have a couple, then set up the trust. But you want to make sure that you set up the trust in the right way. A lot of these online forms that I have found and looking for.
Yeah, that was my next question. That's all the rage.
Are crap.
Because
if you don't have a trust that is set up correctly, then you're basically just saying, you know, come and arrest me. You've got to have a trustee, you got to have a successor, so it has to be set up the right way. So I would tell you to hire a lawyer.
Does your office do this?
We are in the process of researching it to learn how to do it properly, and I'm being my own guinea pig on it. In the interim, I would tell you that Patrick Stigall down in South Haven does great work in that area.
Okay, thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Good luck. A couple of more here, and we'll get to them once the phones work. Okay, this is Bill. for lawyer Bill. Go ahead, sir. What do you have?
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
What do you need?
I work for a railroad out of Memphis, and back in 2014 or July, we were in a wreck, and we had to go to the emergency room, get checked out, everything like that.
Mm.
My supervisors were there, you know, and they told us not to give us an insurance card because they, you know, the railroad was going to pay for it, no big deal, you know, out of workers' comp. Well, 3 months later, I get a letter in the mail from my hospital saying that I owed $5,875 and $276 for the doctor and $36 for blood work. Contact the railroad. They said, yes, fax the bills. They're going to pay for them. No big deal.
All right, hang on, wait. Let me cut you short. Is your question, can you get money from the railroad for this?
Well, they have not paid the bill yet, and it went on my credit report in December of 2014.
Yeah, the problem is you're kind of at their mercy. You can ride them. You can be the greasy wheel and tell them that they need to pay it and they need to do it. But the truth of the matter is you had 1 year from the date of the accident to file a lawsuit. Okay? Mm-hmm. So July 2015 is when your statute ran.
Okay.
So the truth of the matter is you're kind of at their mercy right now. If they pay it, they pay it. If they don't, you're on the hook.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
All right, man. Good luck. Not good news, but yeah, this 1 year thing is really an important deal.
Your business.
Yep. Don't put it off because you're going to end up in a bad way. Marilyn is here. Go ahead for lawyer Bill.
Good morning. I have a standard custody agreement in Mississippi with my ex-husband for my 16-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And he is getting to the point to where he doesn't want to go over there on his dad's visitation days all the time. Because his dad won't let him go do things with his friends or won't let him go to activities and stuff on the weekends when he's there. And I wanted to find out what, you know, legally are my responsibilities in regards to that, and what can his dad do if, you know, my son decides to say, I'm not coming over there, and I don't make him go.
So legally, your responsibility is to encourage and facilitate a loving relationship between he and his father. Okay?
Okay.
In English, what that means is you can't say, little Bobby, you don't have to go over there. Little Bobby, he's a piece of crap. Just pitch a fit.
Which okay? I haven't. I've told him that's his dad. So
your job is to say, I know you don't want to, but you need to go. He loves you and cares about you. And he just wants to see you. Your job can also be to call him and say, look, I am encouraging him to come and visit with you. Here's why he doesn't want to. What can we work out here?
Good.
I mean, here's the deal. I know he's 16 and you think that you're at the end of the race, but you are not. Okay?
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to deal with this man for the rest of your life. At grandkids' baptisms and school plays and graduations and all that. So y'all are going to be in each other's lives for the rest of your life because you've got this kid together. It doesn't end magically at 18 or 21. So give him a call and say, look, your son doesn't want to come see you anymore. And it's not because he doesn't love you. It's because
you're a dick.
You won't let him go see his girlfriend or you won't let him do X, Y, and Z.
Well, unfortunately, I've tried that and he won't speak to me on the phone and he yells at my son when I try to talk to him about this stuff.
Well,
all
your responsibility is to encourage and facilitate that and try and work something out with him. You know, if your son's not going to go, he's not going to go. And if your ex gets ticked off enough about it, what he's going to do is he's going to take you to court.
At what age can the child say, I'm not going?
Never.
Okay.
He'd eventually take you to court, okay? Uh-huh. And if he were to take you to court, you're going to want to prove and show, and text messages are a great way to do this, that uh-huh. you have encouraged your son to go spend time and not badmouthed him.
Okay.
Okay?
All right, that's what I needed to know. Thank you very much.
And yes, ma'am.
The answer to your question is never, and I've said this before.
18, 21, I mean, he's a grown man at some point.
Yeah, he is. And the older that they get, the more common sense you have to use. I mean, at 18, if he goes, I don't want to go over there, then yeah, okay, we get that, and you probably need to say, all right, I'm now reaping what I've sowed. If I've been a jerk to my kid my whole life, that's why they're not going to want to come over. But a child never gets to just say, no, I'm not going. Because if they did, if we put all that power in the kid's hands, then it would be, Dad, I'm going to live with you. And Dad says, mow the grass, and you can't have your girlfriend in your room. And he goes, screw you, Dad, I'm going to live with Mom. Mm-hmm. And Mom goes, you can't smoke weed here. And he goes, screw you, I'm going to go live with Dad. Mm-hmm. I mean, you give a kid that much power, you've taken away your ability to parent.
Yeah, good point. Very good point. Good calls today. Good information, as always. Thank you for your time and for your advice and insight to these folks who need some help, some more than others. Goodness gracious.
We all need help. I need a foot rub.
Don't join the Navy and then come back and marry somebody and leave and have and four kids. Man, he's the winner of the week.
Poor guy,
man. It's just awful. And, man, she's a class act. I'd like to party with her.
It's like we need a third verse for that song, In the Navy.
I was just saying that. Poor guy. All right, y'all, try to be smart. If not, Bill will be back next Thursday. And we'll take care of all of you that we can next week. Thank you all for calling and for emailing. And Bill Jones, the Jones Law Firm, thank you, sir. LawyerBill.com for more information. Coming up, our buddy Bruce Van Weingarten from The Flyer. The new issue is out. Interesting stories in that, which we'll cover in just a few minutes. Red Door Wealth Management. Wealth, well, that is, that can kind of go both ways. If you're young, if you're old, you can start right now getting into investing and having money for retirement. There's a point here that I went through too. I was with some other people, a big name outfit, and there was never any communication, never a phone call. The service was quite lacking. And this is your money and your future. And if they don't pay attention to you, you lose interest and you leave them. Red Door is where I went, and I have been pleased with that ever since I made the first move. Fred Hyatt and John and Gretchen and Daniel have all been really quite helpful. They are down to earth. This is not a scary thing to enter into. It is for your own good. It doesn't cost you much money. It helps you save money. That's the best part. They have 401k plans and family plans and all kind of stuff, and they're there on the phone for you anytime, day or night, for the ongoing input that you need and the advice. If the market flips out, they will calm your nerves, and it's a great place to start to invest and save for your future and for your family, and they're quite good at this. Give them a call. Call Fred anytime, 901-681-0018, or his email address is fred@reddoorwealth.com. Ask him any questions, a free consult at Red Door Wealth Management. Back in a moment after this break with Bruce Van Weingarten from The Flyer.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.